नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय विठुन्वता वैरमयं निजं वपुर् जनस्तपः सत्यनिवासिनो वयम् शताशिखोन्दूत शिवं भुबिन्दुभिर्विमृज्यमाना वृषमीश भाविता Vidunvata, while shaking, Vedamayam, personified Vedas, Nijam, own, Vapu, body, Jana, Janaka Loka, planetary system, Tapaha, the Tapaloka planetary system, Satya, the Satya Loka planetary system. Nivasina, the inhabitants. Vayam, we. Sata, hairs on the shoulder. Shika Udhuta, sustained by the tip of the hair. Shiva, auspicious. Ambu, water. Bindubhi, by the particles. Vimrija, mana, we are thus sprinkled by. Brisham, highly. Isha, O Supreme Lord. Pavita, purified. Translation. O Supreme Lord, undoubtedly we are inhabitants of the most pious planets, the Janatapa and Satyalokas. But still we have been purified by the drops of water sprinkled from your shoulder hairs by the shaking of your body. Purport. Ordinarily the body of a hog is considered impure, but one should not consider that the hog incarnation assumed by the Lord is also impure. That form of the Lord is the personified Vedas and is transcendental. The inhabitants of the Janatapas and Satyalokas are the most pious persons in the material world. But because those planets are situated in the material world, there are so many material impurities there also. Therefore, when the drops of water from the tips of the Lord's shoulder hairs were sprinkled upon the bodies of the inhabitants of the higher planets, they felt purified. The Ganges water is pure because of its emanating from the toe of the Lord. And there is no difference between the water emanating from the toe and that from the tips of the hair on the shoulder of Lord Bor. They are both absolute and transcendental. So, the Lord then is being brought out here of his transcendental position, of his not being affected by anything. In other words, anything in connection with him is then special. It's not ordinary. It's a very important, I mean, it sounds very simple and all that, and we devotees will all say yes, yes. But when you apply it, that's where we see if it's yes, yes, or no, no. Right? Just like most monotheistic religions, you ask them, you know, who is God, and they'll say he's the Supreme Person. So you say, he's a person. Yes, he's a person. And he loves you. Yes, all these things. And then you say, what does he look like? Oh, he has no form. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense. Because it goes on, yes. Okay. So we have to make sure that we don't do the same thing. Krishna's transcendental. Everything in connection to him is transcendental. Everything is special. This, that, blah, but, you know, the scriptures, hey, it's Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga is more powerful than the Lord, so therefore nothing works in Kali Yuga. The only thing that works in Kali Yuga is my mind and what I want. and that is supreme. Right? Does that make sense? Yes. All right. Bingo. Yes. Okay. Okay. So we have to be very, very careful about these things that we take our convictions all the way through our life. They're consistent. Otherwise, then what happens is these very basic formulas. Then we'll consider, you know, I've already heard that, you know, been there, done that. Yeah, I did the new bhakta thing, you know, the pots, and you know, you're not this body and all that. But now, we're mature. We're being realistic with life. But the difficulty comes is that formulas always work, right? 2 + 2 = 4, whether you're in, you know, first grade or you're the world's best nuclear physicist. It's still 2 + 2 = 4. And the whole system's based on that. So if we put that aside, oh, now I'm a big mathematician, I don't care about this 2 + 2 = 4, your calculations will be wrong. Right? They have to be. Because the whole basis of the math system is simply arithmetic. That's all it is. All there is arithmetic. You add one thing to another, right? Subtraction is just addition backwards, right? Isn't it? Multiplication. You're adding in groups. Division is subtracting in groups. Understand? So if you think addition, oh, that's for the kids, then your whole system won't work. Right? So it has to be regarded. So all these basic principles, these work throughout. So that means if Krishna's body is transcendental, what about his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes? Right? What about the Sankirtan pastimes? Right? The preaching, the Shastra, speaking the Shastra, giving the Shastra, practicing the Shastra, it's the Lord's pastimes. That makes sense. So why would it be any less transcendental, Kali Yuga or not? Right? Why would it make any difference? Why would Kali Yuga have any effect on the Lord, on his name, right? On the Shastras? Why would Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra be affected by Kali Yuga? Why would it? How would it be? It's transcendental. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. There's bugs crawling around in the mud, does that mean now you've gotten dirty? They're crawling around in the mud. They think they're the world. Right? So now that means you're dirty? You know what I'm saying? So this kind of logic has to be applied. Someone just Sadhu just mentioned to me this morning a very interesting point, is that in education nowadays, modern education, people are taught to think logically. Right? I mean, that's their idea, of course. So one must think logically, but their parameter of logical thinking is always outside of theism. Does that make sense? Theism, they've already defined it as not logical. It's sentimental. So it doesn't even come into the picture of the concept of logic. So as we notice, by this conditioning, when devotees can fall into the trap that when they want to be logical and practical, they drop out theism in the process. Because that's how they're trained. The trained logical means that science means I see it with my senses. Of course, the part that the senses, what you see, is then controlled by the mind, which is purely sentiment. Why you decide something right and wrong, since you have no authority, is that it's simply sentiment, so it's all the mind. But they finesse that minor point there. So instead of it being God's opinion, it's their opinion. But whatever it is, it sounds very good to them, it's very logical to them. But we have to be very, very careful that we ourselves do not get trapped by the same misnomer. Right? Is that here's great personalities, And they're accepting this transcendental position. So then, and he is the personification of the Vedas. So then, everything would still work, would still apply. Does that make sense? Age doesn't, when you're dealing with eternity, there's no such thing as getting old. Right? Krishna's been around a long time, and he still looks like he's 16. Right? Nowadays, 16-year-olds don't look like they're 16. You know? Like that. Does that make sense? You know, you've already been through the mill by that time. You know? So it's very interesting is that we should see this. So now, and these great personalities, they feel blessed by this. They're purified by this. So even though they're the topmost in the universe, they still feel this is very good. Right? Now, why these three are mentioned, right? Because there's four that are considered connected with Satyaloka. Right? Mahar is not mentioned. Right? So these are the ones that are just, you know, all the celibates doing all the, how you say, the Brahma means doing the austerities, doing the Shastric studies, doing the yoga. These are all those ones, right? Because Mahar will be the Prajapatis. Like that. So now we're taking these persons, then they don't need to lower themselves in any way, right? It means the Prajapatis, then being Grihasthas, then have to, how you say, seemingly sometimes compromise their own dignity. But these are Brahmacharya, they don't have to. Right? So, them saying we're purified by the contact of the water from the shoulders of Varahadev, then is very meaningful, right? Because, in other words, they're seeing it purely as transcendental. It's not a matter of, you know, that they have to see it this way. You know, it's the sadhana to see it this way. So it's my duty to see it this way. It's a matter, they do see it that way, because they are transcendentally situated. That's why they're around now. Right? Otherwise, they would have been in the water with the earth. Right? Any questions on this? It means, believe it or not, questions are part of the class. How you say syllabus. Okay. Anyone has any questions? Yes.
Dr. Saraswati Thakur once said that the different avatars relate to evolutionary consciousness.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. Do you mind sharing the different insights that you want?
Oh, evolutionary, okay. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, you said. Oh, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That the different avatars is the consciousness. Means that would be in the conditioned souls, not in the Lord. The Lord is always transcendental. But it would mean that you're starting with your aquatics. Right? And so then, you know, then you have Matsya, but that's purely aquatic, while Kurma is aquatic but can go on the land. Right? Nisringa then you're dealing with beasts, then you're dealing with, you know, kids, then you're dealing with adults, but then kind of like mixed varnas, you know, like that. And Parasaram, then Ram, that's like the straight, you know, the real deal there, you know, like that. Then you get into Krishna Balaram, then you're going kind of like beyond, right? Then Buddha, then now we're coming back down the other side, right? You know, it's like, that's generally you go out and then you, like that. So then it's, you know, transcendental, but unfortunately missed the boat, right? You know. And then Kalki is that, you know, you're just, you know, you're properly just reestablishing religion again. So those that are going to make a problem for it are destroying, right? So the impediments, Matsya then is saving the Vedas. But he's already with people who are qualified, right? The Manu is qualified. Therefore then he is the one that takes the boat with the sages and the Vedas are saved. Like that. But to do that, then you need to get rid of those who are, you know, not so interested in the Vedas, or whatever little they can, whatever little bit they have interest in the Vedas is simply economic and prestige, and that it's only artha. Artha is sense gratification. It's not really dharma. Because it said that Kalki will be born in a Brahmin family. That means there'll still be Brahmins at that time. But, you know, you can appreciate that what families that call themselves Brahmins now, though maybe once before their family line was, take that and add another, you know, 400 and, what is it, 27,000 years onto that, and, you know, you can understand. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. Is that okay? Anything else? No questions. Does that mean yes?
I was wondering about
the Yuga Avatar.
Yeah, they're scheduled and.
They're scheduled. You want to know at 9:07, and you know this one comes in. And where's the clock? They check in and out. Right? It must be really big. I really like to say. Which time do they? They like to say Eastern.
But I was kind of confused because sometimes they say the Sakya Yuga is outside the park. Sometimes they say there's the Kapila. And,
Hamsa. Sometimes it says there's Kapila, sometimes it says there's Hamsa for me, for the Satyuga. Okay.
Yeah.
Ever notice what color Kapila or Hamsa are?
They're both white. Maybe.
They're both white. So Hamsa, the whole point is the avatar is white. There may be so many varieties, but they're white. Like that. Even Narayan Rishi, they're also an avatar. The point is that you have these scheduled colors and they come and perform basically scheduled duties. The main thing is, I mean, they all will remove the burden of the earth and they will all associate with the devotees. Right? They'll always do these two things. So now, in that, then there's so much variety that can be done. Because if it's one avatar, then, you know, if there were only four avatars, how big would the Puranas have to be? You know what I'm saying? And then it's one of those things like the Hindus. Yes, I read Bhagavad Gita when I was 12 years old. Yes, I know everything. You know, that guy's great. You know, does that make sense?
Yes. In Dwapara Yuga.
In Dwapara Yuga.
Yeah, there's like black avatar.
Black avatar, yes.
But somewhere I read that
somewhere. This side or that side of the rainbow?
Chaitanya Bhagavat
at the end. Chaitanya Bhagavat at the end,
yeah.
Okay?
Last chapter,
okay.
It says that he teaches deity
worship. So is that a problem?
Yeah, because
we just chant Hare Krishna, we don't care for all these rules and all that.
No, the problem is that many opinions. Yes.
Okay.
That Krishna is the Dwapara Yuga.
Krishna is the Dwapara Yuga avatar, and it says in Chaitanya Bhagavat that the black avatar for Dwapara Yuga came and taught deity worship. So, what's the problem?
Well,
Krishna's black, he appeared in.
Why would Krishna appear at the beginning of Dwapara Yuga?
Why not at the beginning instead of at the end? Is that the point?
Yeah.
Okay. So, of all the deity worship, of all forms of deity worship, what is the best? Right. Upasana Kanda and the Vedas will mention deity worship. So of all deities, who's the best deity? Krishna, right? So why then is the problem he appears at the end? Yes, no? So what are these so many opinions? I'm just saying, you're saying there's so many opinions that are confusing. What are these so many opinions?
Krishna is not Yuga
Avatar. Okay, so that's one opinion. Then, fortunately, you didn't hear that one from a devotee, right? Okay, then next one. That's about it. So, okay. So there's many opinion. Okay, so many opinions.
Yes, there's many opinions about this.
There's many opinions about this.
Many points of view on this. Whether
Krishna is okay. One thing, just for interest. Oh, there's two black incarnations. I see. You don't want to know if the other one is, or you know who the other one is. You know, what is it, 25, 50 cents or something. You know, whatever it is. You know, okay. You want something on this point?
Yeah.
Krishna is a Leela avatar. Oh, so then that's a problem. How can he be a Leela avatar and a Yuga avatar? I mean, this is getting too much. Can't they just make it simple for us? You know, it's like that. So, despite the unlimited opinion that Krishna's not, we generally see is that when it's described about this, we always think of Krishna as that, and the Pancharatra, so he is the deity. Right? But because of the incarnation with Lord Chaitanya, then there's a proximity that's kept very close. So at the closing of the Dwapara Yuga, then he performs these pastimes, because that same form, Swayam Krishna, is going to be then appreciated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is also Swayam Krishna. Right? See, in the normal course of events, Dwapara Yuga is the second Yuga. Right? Like that. But when Swayam Krishna appears, then Treta and Dwapara switch. Just for this purpose. Otherwise, then it would be too far between Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. It's so long ago. It wouldn't seem as, I say, relevant to the Kali Yugites. You know? Does that make sense?
But Lord Chaitanya always comes.
Lord Chaitanya always comes, but that's not Swayam Krishna. The avatar is always golden, he always teaches the chanting of the holy name. But in all the other 999 Kali Yugas, you can go to Vaikuntha by that chanting. It's only in this one out of a thousand that you can go to Goloka. You understand? So there's a connection here. So it always happens on the 28th cycle, then this happens. Is that okay? Okay. No problem? Yeah.
So same for that, so sometimes we see that actually as a comment like that there's being Krishna, there's two, there's Vishnu that kills the demons, and there's Krishna actually that the devotees. There's also the aspect that, so there's the Lila avatar aspect, and there's also the Yuga avatar aspect to destroy the demons. Of course the same person, it's just that.
Yes. Okay. Making a point is that because Krishna is there then as Leela Avatar. But Leela Avatars don't have to be Swayam. So Leela Avatar and Yuga Avatar, so in one way he's establishing religious principles and killing the demons and all that. But they go together. But he'll do that as Vasudeva Krishna, not as Vraja Krishna. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, so is there, okay. So what Lord Chaitanya and Krishna describes external and internal reasons, so it's the same with the Das Avatar. It's always that. Means the external reasons always to remove the demons and establish Dharma, the religious principles, because then the pious persons can work. The internal reason is to associate with the devotees, to enliven the devotees. So that's always the internal and external reason. Like that. Because for Krishna, the establishing the religious principles and that's office work. But for him, what's attractive is the relationship with the devotees. That's always the important thing for him. Now he likes to fight. Okay, he likes to fight, but that fighting then is done with Nrisingadev likes to fight. So you could say that would be, you know, maybe a particular what he wants to taste through that incarnation. But the real reason for him appearing is Prahlad Maharaj, the relationship with Prahlad Maharaj. So you'd have the generic one that he wants to establish religious principles so that the world universe operates properly. Then what particular quality will be manifest to do that? That will be enough, that will make your specific avatar. So in here he uses anger. But in another one he'll use a different mood. You know, like Lord Chaitanya will use the Audarya, or Rama will use the Maryada, like this. They have the different mood where they're establishing the same thing. Then they'll have the association of the particular devotees they're with. You know, Ram is pleasing Hanuman and those devotees. You know, Krishna, you know, the residents of Vrindavan, residents of Dwarka. Is that making sense? Like that. So you're always going to have, within doing it, there's going to be particular qualities that will flavor the establishment of the religious principles and the interaction with the devotees. So it'll always be, so that way then you get unlimited incarnations because there's unlimited flavors, right? There's, you know, major flavors, so therefore those are the major avatars. Is that okay?
The other 999 Chaitanyas that are Krishna Chaitanya, do they have the same MO where they act like a devotee and not be holding their doctrine?
Do the other 999 Lord Chaitanyas also act as a devotee and don't reveal their God? I'm not sure, but there's probably a good chance. You know, because generally the pastime is the same. You know, there's slight differences in it, variations. Like when Sweta Varaha and Yajna Varaha, basically it's the same pastime. One's white, one's red, like that. Or then you have, I think it's Jambavan, because he's Chiranjeev. He's been, since the beginning of the creation, he'll be there till the end. He lives as long as Brahma lives. So he sees every incarnation of, Ramachandra. Sometimes we seem to be having... What is it? Oh, that's the Bengali coming through. Okay. Definitely enthusiastic. Okay. So Jambavan is there when they go down to the ocean and they're going to it at Lanka. Then Jambavan starts describing the different ways that they bridged the ocean in previous times, and how this one's, you know, very special because they bring mountaintops and then write Ram on the rocks and float them, you know. So that's pretty interesting, you know. Like that. So basically the form is the same, but what will happen will be different. Just like what you do every day is basically the same. You get up at the same time, do the same activities, come to the temple, do your different activities, and, you know, go home. But what will happen within each one, it will be unique. Like that. especially it means if it's just the masculine on its own, it might be more, you'd say, regular. It could be exactly the same every day. But when the masculine element comes in contact with the feminine, then there has to be variety. And since Krishna is coming, it means to establish the, you know, kill the demons and that, that's pretty straightforward. You know, he's establishing the same religious principles, you know, people get killed basically in the same way, get their head cut off with the Sudarshan or, you know, something. But when it comes to dealing with the energies, because then it's feminine, then that's where the big variety starts. But the formulas are the same, but the variety will be different. So that's... Is that okay? Like that. So that's the point, the Yoga Maya, because she's Swarup Shakti, she's unlimited in the same way like Krishna. So that means for every aspect or nuance of Krishna's personality, then she knows how to make the arrangements. Just like Radharani knows how to reciprocate with that, bring out his happiness, Yoga Maya knows how to make the arrangements for that reciprocation. So in that way, because you're dealing with unlimited people, they have unlimited, you know. But for us, we're not. So all major pastimes are chosen, those are explained. And even that, then, the devotees get bewildered. Right? Mahabharat, you know, what's his name? Parikit Maharaj, when he hears he's, you know, got 7 days to live, builds a palace that has no windows, it's on a stilt, that has one door with all kinds of guards, and so then no one can get in or out. And so then, you know, then a group of snakes, Takshika's associates, you know, his brothers, then they take the form of Brahmins. They bring a basket of fruit. Takshika takes the form of a bug on that fruit. And because they come to give it to the king, as Brahmins, they're let in. They come, give it to the king. Then just at the time when the sandhya, and it's just the sun is about to set, you know, there's only a few moments left, then they're... because he's fasting, so they're going to say he's going to break the fast now. And then on the fruit, he finds this very funny-looking bug. And he says, well, the Brahmin has spoke the truth. I mean, he has spoken. What Brahmins speak is true, therefore, that I should be bitten by Takshika, that should come true, out of respect for the Brahmin. So since in 7 days it hasn't happened, and right now it's just a few moments until it passes, we wouldn't want Sringi's words to be proved false because, you know, out of the respect for Brahmins. So let us name this bug Takshika. And I will put it on my neck, and, you know, and by bothering it, naturally get upset and it will bite me. So therefore, then, you know, he's upheld, you know, he's protected himself and he's maintained the word of the Brahmin. But he didn't know that that bug was Takshika, and so as soon as he took it and put it on his neck, then Takshika took his normal form and then bit, Maharaj, and then flew off. So then, but in ours, then he just gives up everything and goes out to the forest, sits down next to the Ganges, and then hears from, you know, Sukadeva Goswami. So then, that's contradictory. So anything contradictory, of course, I have to throw out, right? You know, like that. Because it doesn't fit into the pure view of my modern, logical, you know, little box, right? So then the problem comes is that it's just another Kali Yuga. It's not Swayam Krishna. Because in Swayam Krishna, you see the ante is raised. You know, you have the gopis, you know, that pure unalloyed devotion. So naturally then Parikit will also be the pure devotee, Lord Chaitanya, all these things. It's working in a different stage. While before he's a king, he's performing his duties, everything like that. So to be able to accommodate that, that's good. You know, to be able to accommodate that. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Prabhupada ki, Samadeta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainitai Gaura Premanandi.